We'll now hear our Bible reading.
Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 1 to 10. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 10. I will read in our Fijian language. It reads, Ia ena tumbu mai e nduana zoke, mana ndulumi chese. Kana tumbu zake mai na wakana e nduana tambana. Kana tiku ngā wua na yalo I chova. Na yalo ni vuku kena lawandina. Na yalo ni wakabubuli kena kaukaua. Na yalo ni ndau kila. Ndau kila ka kena rereba ki chova. Ena rekitaka sara kokoya. Na rereba ki chova. Ena siangani lewa kokoya me wakana ka sa rere wala ngā wua. Se ebu nauda me wakana ka sa rongoda endalingana. Ena lewei rabandondonu ngā na nrabandrabua. Kalewa abandonu ena bukundra na yalo molmolumu e bura bura. Ena witi bura bura ena titoko ni ngusuna. Ia ena izengu ni tembe ni ngusuna. Ena bagamateira na ibala balada. Ena kena ibau ni tolona na yalo ndondonu kena yalo ndina. Ia ena tiku wata na ulifa kena lami. Kana ndabo wata na lepate kena lube ni me. Ena tiku wata talenga na lube nuvenratou na pulumakau kena leoni kena manu manu uro. Ia ena tumbere iratou indua na ngone leilai. Kana wata ena pulumakau ya lewa, kena pera, ena koto sombu wata na luwenda tou, ia ena leoni, ena kania na dho ni sila me wakana pulumakau. Ena ngito, maina ngara ni ngata, na ngone nremi, ia ena tambaka na lingana, na ngara ni ngata, ndaukata, na ngone sangai kali. Erna senga ni ia, na bibada, na vei waka dhaa, sia na vei waka matei, e na nongu uli ni wanua, tambu kethenga. Nia na romboti ko vuruvura, e na vei kilai ke chova, me waka na umbia na wasa wasa titombu, na wai. Ia, e na singa kwaya, e na ndua na dhoke ke chese, e na tu me nonra kuila na vei matangali, e na waka sangare kwaya ko ira na vei matani tu, ia na noni tikitiko, e na waka yukuku. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second Bible reading for today is taken from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 to 13. I shall read from the Samoan translation. Fafonga mai ai a fionga paia lo tātou atua. O mea o mafoi na tu sia na mua. Na tūsia ia e aoao mai ai ia te I tātou. Ina ia tātou maua le wha moe moe o tupu mai I le ono sai, ma le wha mawhanawhana mai o tūsi. Ia fōa ia tu fōi ia te outou e le atua, o ia e tupu mai ai le ono sai, ma le wha mawhanawhana. Ina ia ngāta si tasio outou loto e tusa ma le whina ngalo o Kiriso Jesu. Ina ia vivii outou I le atua, le tamā o lota atou alii o Jesu Kiriso, ma le loto e tasi, ma le leo e tasi. O lea ia outou talia ai le tasi e le tasi. Whaapei o Kiriso foi o na talia o I tātou, e o ai le vi inga I le atua. O te whai atu foi, Ua avea Jesu Kiriso ma au auna o e ua peritomeina, ona o le wha maoni o le atua. Ina ia wha mauina ai mea sa folafolaina I tupunga. Ina ia vivi I foi nuu ese I le atua ona o le alofa, pei ona tūsia. O le mea lea o te tautau ai oe I nuu ese, o te pese atu foi I lou suafa. Wa toi whaapea foi, ia oli oli outou nuu ese whaatasi malona nuu. Ile malea, ia vivii atu I le alii outou nuu uma. Ia whaa ne'e atu ia te ia outou tangata umalava. Wa toi whaapea mai foi I saia, e iai le aa o iese. O ia foi na te tū lai e pule I nuu ese, e whaatuatua ia te ia nuu ese. O le atua foi, e tupu mai ai le wha moe moe, Ia whaatū tumuina outou e ia i le oli oli uma a toa ma le file mū. Ina ua whaatū atua, ina ia tele lava lo outou wha'a moe moe ona ole mana ole anganga pa ia. Amene.
What does the president do? I was asked by a member of the Invercargill Methodist Church, where I was the minister for 10 years. I said, I don't know, really. But I know there are two different sorts of things that the presbyter does. One sort of thing is the role of being the person who represents conference between conferences. So I might chair meetings, I might have to make some decisions, I might have to act a little bit like how Jesus is represented, as we understand from that reading from Isaiah. In that Isaiah reading, we hear what the Messiah is meant to be like. He shall not judge by what he sees, nor decide by what he hears. He shall judge the poor with justice and defend the humble in the land with equity. Now, of course, Isaiah is not talking about me. He's talking about the coming Messiah, whom we interpret to be Jesus Christ. But I look at that and think, that's kind of my role too. And it may be that it's the kind of role these fine gentlemen also have to exercise within the congregations of this parish. And maybe, indeed, it's the role of all of us when we have opportunity and responsibility to act with fairness and justice towards the humble and poor. But the other task that the president has to do is the task of, how are you going to help people? What is your message for the church? The role is not just about judging the problems, but about bringing something new so that people can be filled with something in the 2 years for which I am president. And I want, therefore, to look at the reading from Romans and pick up this verse that was at the end of that reading. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace by your faith in him, until, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you overflow with hope. I strongly feel called in my presidential years to bring hope to our church. Let me tell you a story. This is a story of a village of about 200 or 300 people in Yorkshire, in England. And I was a presbyter in the area, but not the presbyter for that church. It was a small church in that village of about half a dozen or so people. And they tried everything that they could think of to get the people from the village to come to the church. They had special services. They invited people through dropping letters into their letterboxes, encouraging them to come to a special event or a sale or something that would be attractive to others. And nobody came. You could imagine, couldn't you, could you not, how disappointed they were, how sad they were, how frustrated they were, that they were not able to reach the people of the village where they lived, which had a church, a public house where you drank, and a school, and that was it, apart from houses. Where was the hope for these people. They were at their wits' end. They were getting close to the point of saying, we're going to give up. There were other Methodist churches nearby that they could attend. And they were making plans to do just that. But where was the hope for that congregation in that village? And that story could be told over and over again in different ways throughout this country and in other countries. Obviously, I might be thinking of Palangi congregations where there are a handful of old people, maybe the youngest member in their late 70s, where they have a church as big as this, but there's only a dozen, 10 or so people coming, and they haven't got the money to change the light bulbs. They can't do it themselves. They can't employ someone to do it for them. They just hope they've got a friend who will get a big ladder to climb up there and change the light bulb. And what happens when a window breaks? Can they do anything about it? They've not got the money to put a new pane of glass there. And what do the people of the community think about this building? I mean, their building, with broken panes of glass, with the grass growing this high because no one can push the lawnmower anymore. What does it say when the paint is peeling on the notice board that declares who the minister is of 30 years ago? Where the time of the service is different from the time that it actually is. Where the door into the church is not the one that is by the roadside, but is somewhere down the corridor and it remains shut so no one knows how to get in. Where is the hope for that congregation? You might say, well, your congregation isn't like that. But every congregation has its problems, and some of those problems tear a congregation apart. Where is the hope for that situation? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace by your faith in him, until by the power of the Holy Spirit you overflow with hope. All very well, but where does that hope come from? Back to this little church called Haydedge. The members of the church decided to leave and they went to these other churches. The doors of the church were shut. There was a church building. In front of the church building was a small graveyard where the stones were. And behind the church, there was another larger graveyard, which was not in any way full. Alongside it, on the other side, was the Sunday school, the small hall where other activities could take place. The church no longer needed. The greater parish said, well, obviously, we need to sell those buildings. Those buildings were put up for sale. And one man said he would buy the two buildings and all the land and put houses, you know, change the buildings into houses so people could live there. And it was at that point that the local people said, how dare you do this to our church? How dare you put a garden in front of the church so that little children can run over the graves of people? That is terrible. How can you do that? So the minister of the church asked me to come with him to meet with the leaders of this group of people from the local community who put letters in the newspapers, who had all sorts of people complaining alongside them. And we met with them on a number of occasions. And we said to them, look, we don't need the church anymore. Therefore, we're going to sell the building. But you can't sell the building. Well, the only thing that will stop the building being sold is if we have a church in the building. So why don't you, we said to them, why don't you form 24 people who will make a new church? That way you can save the buildings. And that's what they did. These people gathered together, and 24 or so of them, and said they would become a church. They were people who'd not been to any church for years, some of them maybe never. And I was asked to be the minister. I'm not sure how well I did, but it was an exciting prospect of bringing together some people who didn't really know what church was about and helping them to discover through prayer and service what it meant to be a Christian in this world. Through the challenge came resurrection. Through hope came growth. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace by your faith in him, until by the power of the Holy Spirit you overflow with hope. Do you believe that you are called to a life of joy and peace? You say yes, Peter. Oh, I'm not sure you're very convinced, but never mind. And the basis of our joy and peace is not because we manufactured it, made it in ourselves. The basis of our joy and peace is our faith in God. Is that not right? Our trust in God, however we understand God to be. We see God and we say, we trust that God. And that God, as we trust in that God, gives us joy and peace on the inside. Is that not right? Say yes, Peter. Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Well, you could say no, of course. I'm just assuming that it's yes. Some years ago, I read a book that you might or might not have heard of. It was in the 1970s, so it's long since left people's bookshelves, called Power in Praise by Merlin Carruthers. Has anyone ever heard of that book? Even if you've never read it, I'm not surprised. But the basis of this book was, this man said, even in your troubles, we should still praise God. Even when things are in their darkest, we should still look to the light. Even when the night is all around us, we should still look for the dawn. Now that might sound very simplistic, very simple, and rather naive, as if by pretending that we can praise God, everything's going to be all right. But it's not quite like that. It's not that we're pretending that we have something to praise God about. We do have something to praise God about. Isn't God the God of love? Doesn't God love you? Of course he does. And we see the evidence of that over the years that have gone before us. Have we not? We've seen many occasions when God has inspired us, inspired his people to do all sorts of things. We've seen how God has inspired people to come together on this Sunday morning. We're all here because in some way God has inspired his people. But we all face troubles, don't we? No congregation is without its troubles. They may be small, they may be large, but we all face them. When did you last praise God in those troubles? Not because of the troubles, but in the troubles. Not saying that the troubles are good, but saying, even so, we can praise God. Is that your experience? It's certainly been my experience over the years. And it's not about wishful thinking. It's not about hiding from the reality of what's going on. It's saying, even though there are troubles here, I can still find praise in God. And that praise in God is because I trust God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace by your faith in him, by your trust in him. That way we find joy and peace until, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you overflow with hope. In 1997, I came to New Zealand with my young family. Spent 5 months in the Canterbury area before going back to England. It was a ministry exchange. I looked after one minister's churches and they looked after mine back in Britain for that period. And then I got back to my home church and then moved to a different place. And when I was in this second place, a couple from the church said they were thinking of going to live in New Zealand. And I said, oh, come and have a chat. And I showed them the slides I'd made, you know, how you bore people with your holiday slides. Well, I bored them with my slides of New Zealand, which I found interesting, but hadn't looked at for some time. At the end of that conversation, they went away happy, but God had planted a seed in me that said, I think God's calling me to go to New Zealand. And this was in 2004 or 2005. So I do what I always do when I think God's calling me to something. I go for a walk. And I went for a walk and had a talk with God about it. And I came to the conclusion that the only way I could resolve this was by trying to open a door. And if the door opened, then I would go through it. So I opened the door by contacting the Methodist Church in New Zealand and said, well, I'm a minister in Britain. I think God might be calling me to become a minister in New Zealand. What do you think? And in the Methodist Church, ummed and ahed a bit, and then said, yeah, okay. We'd like you to go to Ashburton. Fine, I said. So then I contacted the immigration services and wanted to come here with the permission to stay, with residency, after a short period. And the immigration authorities said, yeah, that's fine, but... Okay, right, what's the but? The but was that I have a medical condition which is not, you know, not infectious or anything like that. A medical condition that is permanent, a bit like diabetes, but it's not diabetes. Something you can't be cured of. And the immigration authorities said, well, you're welcome to come, provided you can get a report from some medical person saying this condition would never be a problem in New Zealand. Couldn't do that because I couldn't prove that that would be the case. I got the medical person to word it in such a way that it has been mild, and I've not really had a problem since I've been here. But no, they still needed proof that it wouldn't be a problem. Back and forth. There's my letter, not enough. There's another letter, not enough. You know how it goes. Some of you will have experienced something like that, I'm sure. It was getting to the point of a bit of desperation, not knowing what to do, and made it all the more difficult because I'd said to the Methodist Church in Britain, I no longer wanted to be a minister there. Now, Methodist ministers change in Britain in August for the beginning of September. And by now, it was after Easter, and time was moving on, and July came, and August came, and I had to leave the house that belonged to the church, and I had nowhere else to go, because I had not got permission to go to New Zealand. So we stayed with my wife's parents in a 3-bedroomed house. Parents had one room, we had one room, one of our children had the third bedroom, and one had the lounge downstairs. Six of us in the house. Some of you will know what that's like. Three generations, all fun and games together. And time was moving on. August was moving on. Come to the beginning of September, I should be working in a parish somewhere, but I had nowhere to go. Not only that, our two children should be attending school, but we didn't know whether they needed to, because we didn't know how long we were going to stay and what school would they go to. Just before the end of September, when we felt that, you know, what was going to happen, let me tell you, during this period, when I had no home to go to, no job to go to, my wife had no job, we had no money coming in, I still had hope. I still had peace. I never for a moment believed it would not happen. I just didn't know how and when. I had hope. And that hope gave me a joy and peace, because I trusted that this is where God wanted me to be and it would happen. And it did. And within a week of the immigration authorities finally being cajoled by the local MP in New Zealand, we were in New Zealand, arrived on the 5th of September and started had the induction on the 7th, which was my birthday. Lovely birthday present, and I was like this. I don't know what time of day it is, I'm feeling tired, you know. Do you find hope in your troubles? We all face troubles as individuals, as congregations, as a parish, as a church in the country. We all face problems. But each problem can be faced with hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace by your faith in him, until by the power of the Holy Spirit you overflow with hope. And all this happens so that Jesus Christ can be seen in us. If we are a people filled with hope, the people in the community will see that, recognize that, and say, that's really attractive. I want some of that. I want that hope for me. If we can explode in hope, it will help others to see hope in our church, in our community, and this will bring Christ's coming to earth in through his people. We want to see Jesus Christ here on this earth. Maybe we've got to wait a long time for whatever the second coming is and means. But in the meantime, we can have hope now, and people can see in that hope Jesus Christ at work in us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace by your faith in him, until by the power of the Holy Spirit, you overflow with hope. Do I hear amen, Peter? Amen. Thank you.